Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. No bond for the Virginia man accused of killing a family of four last week on an I-75 freeway crash.
Sir, you are Charles Dean Pace, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's 27-year-old Charles Dean Pace, charged, amongst other things, four counts of second-degree murder after he allegedly smashed his pickup truck into the victim's disabled car. The victims in this case are 23-year-old Zakaria Dodson, 24-year-old Tyree Powell, their 3-year-old daughter, Nalani, and 2-year-old son, Carter. Inside the courtroom today was Dad's younger brother, wearing a T-shirt with a photo of his family and the following words printed below, read by a friend.
Drinking and driving does not just shatter lives, it shatters families. Behind every drunk driving tragedy is a family forever changed. Drive sober, every family deserves to make it home.
Pace, who's from Virginia, was here on business, was denied bond. His next hearing is set for July 14th.
I'm Tim Pamplin for the Michigan News Network.
What is the total of the upcoming budget?
That seems to be up for debate. The agreement of the new state budget came late last week, and lawmakers are calling it $75.2 billion. But some organizations outside of the government, like Bridge Michigan, call it closer to $84 billion. So which one is it? In Lansing yesterday, House Speaker Matt Hall was asked.
For those of you who are trying to figure this out, I would stick with the fiscal agencies. Those are the official documents. The governor, us, we're all saying the same thing, which is, you know, if you're using apples to apples, it was 75.9 on the fiscal documents. Now it's 75.19, and we've cut government by 800 million.
Hall comparing numbers from last year to this year using the same analysis in order to explain the budget cut math. When asked if that causes confusion, he said he's sticking with the official analysis from the state's fiscal agency for his basis and not outside reporting. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
And we're learning more about pet projects in the state budget. About $125 million have been earmarked for pet projects. These range from fire station improvements and workforce development to Tulip Time Festival and the Detroit Auto Show. Bridge Michigan reporter Jordan Hermani says that such requests aren't unusual.
We've seen very strange things in the past, such as millions for investments in rockets. We've seen it for the politically connected. We've seen it for just all over the board sorts of things. So these are really where we see lawmakers who they try and bring this money back to their district. We've seen it for ballparks.
Hermani says that while it can be difficult to shift through each line of the budget, pet projects aren't the same.
Last year, we actually saw pushed into law the Republican House putting forward these transparency measures to require specifically for pet spending projects, these be made available for viewing 45 days in advance of being adopted.
Total of 1,300 projects were introduced by both the House and Senate. And part of identifying ghost jobs is to get workers back to work.
And maybe using ghost in a different way, House Speaker Matt Hall described some government buildings.
I have the swipe card data, and it's very bad. It's probably less than 25% of the workers are coming into work. So these buildings are empty.
Republican State Representative Donnie Steele said this was one of the wins in the latest budget, getting workers back in.
And we have asked for a work-at-home policy to say, okay, why are these buildings all empty and there's nobody here and everybody's working from home? Do we have a policy that's coherent with to making sure that everybody's getting the service that they deserve in the state of Michigan?
And she said it's something they'll be reviewing and working on over the next year. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Consumers Energy is proposing a new $270 million hydro safety fund as part of its plan to sell 13 hydroelectric dams to Confluence Hydro. The utility says the fund would help protect Michigan communities if unexpected long-term safety issues arise after the sale. The money would come from Consumers Energy shareholders and be managed by the state of Michigan. Confluence Hydro also says it will maintain community engagement, preserve recreational access, and continue operating the dams with the current workforce. The sale is under review by the Michigan Public Service Commission. Consumer says if the sale is denied, it plans to decommission the dams, remove them, and drain the reservoirs. Napoleon Township officials have scheduled a special meeting next Monday to address ongoing disputes over docks, boats, and lake access on Big Wolf Lake. The meeting will be held at 6 p.m. July 13th at the Township Hall on Brooklyn Road and is open to Oak Point residents and other interested community members. Township leaders say the discussion will focus on riparian rights, road end access, ownership of the lake bottom, and related property tax issues. The meeting follows cease and desist letters sent to some residents regarding private docks and watercraft at road ends. Officials say the township is responding to resident complaints, safety concerns, and questions about the use of public property. Motorists traveling westbound on I-94 will need to find another place to stop this week. The Michigan Department of Transportation has closed the Grass Lake Rest Area through Friday evening for lift station pump repairs. The closure began Tuesday morning and includes both the rest area building and the parking lot. MDOT says shutting down the entire facility is necessary to keep workers and motorists safe while repairs are underway. The rest area is expected to reopen by 9 p.m. on Friday. 4 weeks away from primary election day here in Michigan, and things are heating up among the Republican candidates for governor, who also have a pair of debates scheduled for this week.
Today is about John James putting profits over the people and the jobs that he's supposed to protect.
Former Michigan Attorney General Mike Cox, one of three Republican candidates for governor left standing, held a makeshift news conference Tuesday morning in a parking lot directly across the street, an automotive parts distributor that happens to be owned by Congressman and candidate John James. Cox turning up the heat this week with a new ad campaign claiming James and his business have sold out Michigan auto workers. Cox, James, and businessman Perry Johnson will all participate in a pair of televised debates this week.
John Hewitt reporting for the Michigan News Network.
Americans might be bringing home more than just dinner in their takeout bags. We have this story from Michigan News Network's Dan Jenkins.
That's the warning from Michigan Congresswoman Debbie Dingell and Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, who are introducing bipartisan legislation to ban toxic PFAS chemicals from all food containers. These harmful agents are frequently used for waterproofing and greaseproofing wrappers, but scientists agree they leach into food and bioaccumulate in the human body. Exposure is linked to reproductive issues, hormone disruption, and organ damage. While several states have already banned the toxic substances, proponents argue federal action is critical to ensuring food safety no matter where you shop. The bill has drawn widespread support from leading environmental and public health organizations.
Dan Jenkins for the Michigan News Network.
Parts of Western Michigan are under an air quality alert. The National Weather Service has expanded the alert to include areas like Muskegon, Grand Rapids, Holland, South Haven, and Benton Harbor. Several counties will have elevated levels of ozone, which can be unhealthy for sensitive groups. It is recommended that, when possible, you avoid strenuous outdoor activities, especially those with heart disease and respiratory conditions like asthma. The alert is in effect all day today. 13-year-old boy is facing multiple surgeries after a round of devastating storms. Last Friday, Noah Garcia was camping with his mother in Lansing. According to a GoFundMe, the fast-moving storm hit the campground before they could seek shelter, and a tree fell and hit Noah. He suffered life-threatening injuries, including internal bleeding that required a kidney to be removed. He also suffered broken bones, a collapsed lung, and a shattered spine. Family said he faces a long and difficult road ahead with surgery scheduled yesterday and today. A legal resolution in Macomb County after a woman targeted a local official online. 44-year-old Melissa Ann McGuire has pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor charge of using a computer to commit a crime. The Mount Clemens woman was charged after sending threatening Facebook messages to Mount Clemens Mayor Laura Kropp last fall. Prosecutors dropped the phone harassment charge in exchange for the plea. McGuire is scheduled for sentencing next month. Catching an online predator, the Clare County Sheriff's Office says Paul Johnson agreed to meet with a decoy that was pretending to be a 14-year-old boy. Johnson intended to engage in sex, but instead was met by law enforcement after citizen investigators tipped off police. Johnson was charged with several felonies and was given a $200,000 bond. Emergency room visits spike almost 30% during the summer months, and 40% of pediatric ER visits happen in the summer, too. Priority Health Dr. David Rozutko on some of the reasons why.
Children are outside more, and they're on, you know, the skateboards and the boogie boards and those types of things, and so falls and strains and sprains are not infrequent. So that's oftentimes the things that we're seeing in the emergency department.
Dr. Rozutko says we're just spending more time outside.
A lot of the attendant conditions that are associated with that, you know, dehydration, sunburns, heat-related illness, do tend to rise, obviously, in the summer months.
Rozutko says you should never swim alone. Always watch children around water. He says drowning is silent and it can happen in a few inches of water. He also says make sure to wear sunscreen when you're outside to prevent that sunburn. Looks like Michigan's OnlyFans bill is adding up. Michigan News Network's Jay Dennis.
According to the tracking website OnlyGuider, Michigan residents spent $82 million on the subscription platform OnlyFans last year. That's the website where creators can post their more exclusive content for a subscription fee. Grand Rapids was the state's biggest spender at $181,000 spent per 10,000 residents. Detroit, not far behind, with $172,000 per 10,000 residents. As for counties, Wexford County up north got the top spot, just beating Wayne County. Meanwhile, mid-Michigan's Clinton County spent the least money, maybe choosing to get their kicks for free. Jay Dennis for the Michigan News Network.
World's biggest wheelchair sports event will begin this week in the Detroit area.
500-plus adaptive veteran athletes will be here to play 20 different events, including basketball, swimming, pickleball, and more. It's the first time Detroit will host the games, celebrating 45 years. The Detroit Sports Commission, teaming up with the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs and Paralyzed Vets of America, Marty Dobek is with the commission.
You know, hosting this event really reinforces that Detroit, we're just not pursuing the biggest events. We want events that matter, events that create impact, and events that really make every athlete feel seen and supported.
Beginning on Thursday through July 14th, you can find more information at wheelchairgames.org. Chris Villar for the Michigan News Network.
City of Jackson's Summer Safety Series continues today at the MLK Center. It'll run from noon until 1:30. They'll have free food, games, safety info, bike and helmet raffles for kids 12 and under, $50 Visa gift card raffle for kids 13 to 18. Have an opportunity to meet public safety and interact with police cars and fire trucks. Again, the Summer Safety Series is today at the MLK Center. The MLK Center is located at 1107 Adrian Street here in Jackson. And according to the Jackson County Office of the Sheriff's Facebook page, their department is conducting a car seat drive to replace car seats that have been involved in accidents for families in need. They're accepting monetary donations, which will then be used to purchase car seats for Jackson residents. You can make that cash or check donation to Captain Kevin Hiller. You can do that by giving him a call, 517-768-7966, or email khiller@mijackson.org. That phone number, once again, 517-768-7966, to make a donation for the Jackson County Office of the Sheriff's Car Seat Drive. And again, all that information is available on the Jackson County Office of the Sheriff's Facebook page. It's Wednesday, and it's the 8th day of July. Today, we celebrate Math 2.0 Day, National Be a Kid Again Day. I mean, you kind of have to have like a little slice of that every day, don't you? Yeah. Don't take everything so seriously. National Blueberry Day. I'm aboard. Love it. National Freezer Pop Day. National Ice Cream Sundae Day. and National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day. Wow, this is shaping up to be a great day. So on this date, 1951, the city of Paris, France, celebrated its 2,000th birthday. So on this date, in 1958, the first gold album presented by the Recording Industry Association of America was earned by the original cast recording of the film Oklahoma. Yeah, I was in that in high school, but you're not going to get any snippets of songs from me here. Not going to happen. On this date in 2000, the novel Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire was released in the U.S. So on this date in 2000, Venus Williams won Wimbledon for the first time. It was on this date in 2011, former First Lady of the United States Betty Ford passed away. It was on this date in 2012, Academy Award-winning actor Ernest Borgnine. He passed away at the age of 95. On this date in 2015, Ariana Grande apologized for a TMZ video which showed her at a California donut shop. Well, saying this. Yeah, well, she did a nice long publicity tour afterwards, apologizing. It's on this date in 2023, former Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo, was assassinated while giving a speech in Nara, Japan. It was on this date in 2023, Elton John completed his international farewell Yellow Brick Road, the final tour at Tele2 Arena in Stockholm, Sweden. Birthdays today include Maya Hawke is 28, actress from Stranger Things, Inside Out 2, Jaden Smith, rapper, actor, Karate Kid 2010 movie is 28 today. David Corenswet, who is the new Superman, he is 33 today. Jake McDormand from Limitless is 40. Sophia Bush, One Tree Hill, is 44. Lance Gross from Bernie Mac and Tyler Perry's House of Pain is 45 today. Jamal Woolard, actor, rapper, he is 51 today. Michael Weatherby from Dark Angel and NCIS is 58 today. Rocky Carroll, also from NCIS, is 63 today. Robert Knepper, Heroes, Prison Break, is 67. Kevin Bacon, Footloose, Apollo 13, A Few Good Men, just watched that one recently. He's 68 today. Angelica Houston, 75, actress from The Addams Family. Wolfgang Puck, he's a chef, he's 77 today. Jeffrey Tambor, from Arrested Development, Transparent, is 82 today. Marty Feldman would have had a birthday today. He was the hump, what hump guy in Young Frankenstein. Marty Feldman passed away in 1982. Other birthdays today include Jamie Cook, 41, guitarist from Arctic Monkeys. Real Big Fish's trumpet player, Travis Wirtz, is 49 today. Beck, singer, songwriter, composer, 56 today. Joan Osborne, one of us, 64 today. Rafi, he's a children's performer. He's 78 today. And Toby Keith would have had a birthday today. Toby Keith passed away in 2024.
Yeah, I was always a crazy one. Broke into the stadium and I wrote your number on the 50-yard line. You were always a perfect one and a valedictorian. So under your number I wrote, call for a good time. I only wanted to get your attention, but you overlooked me somehow. Besides, you had too many boyfriends to mention, and I played my guitar too loud. How do you like me now? And I'm on my way. You still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now?
For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com.
When I took off to Tennessee, I heard that you made fun of me. Never imagined I'd make it this far. Then you married in the money, girl. Ain't it a cruel and funny world? He took your dreams and he tore them apart. He never comes home and you're always alone, and your kids hear you cry down the hall. Alarm clock starts ringing, who could that be singing? It's me, baby, with your wake-up call. How do you like me now?
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
The Detroit Baseball Tigers getting a big 6-2 win last night over the A's. Tarek Skubal, just gold on the bump. Five hits, a run over five innings, had two walks, had nine strikeouts, and the only run allowed came in the third inning. But the Tigers had already scored by then off a Colt Keith two-run dinger in the first.
Keith at the plate, first pitch, fly ball, right field. This one's deep. This one's got a chance. Gone! Carried the big wall in right center. Number seven for Colt Keith, and the Tigers take a 2-0 lead.
And then that's when Atlanta and the, I'm sorry, the A's in the third got a dinger. So it's 2-1 at this point for the Tigers.
Fly ball to left. This one's deep. This one's troubled, and that ball is gone. Wow. Henry Bolte, not exactly known for his power. He had two home runs and 150 at-bats coming in. And he launches to left field on a 3-1 to cut the Tigers' lead to 2-1.
Malgeri gets a blue first of two doubles in the sixth to put the Tigers up. This was a 3-1 lead at this point.
And Malgeri at the plate, he swings and pops it up. Behind first base, long run for Kuroda Grauer. And oh my goodness, everybody peeled off at the end. McKinstry scores. What a mistake. A run for the Tigers. Kuroda Grauer was calling for it, and then stopped, and Butler, the right fielder, stopped, and the ball dropped. A big run for the Tigers. Malgerian's up on second, and the Tigers take a 3-1 lead.
And that just opened the door for more Tigers to cross home plate. Vierling gets a two-run double in that same inning, makes it 5-1.
Slicing drive down the right field line. Will it drop? Fair ball into the corner. Two runs will score. Torkelson in, Malgeri in. Matt Vierling delivers. Tigers take advantage of the Athletics misplay. Two more runs and a 5-1 lead here in the sixth.
McGonigal brings in a run with an RBI double. Again, still in the sixth.
The 2-1. Line drive, base hit into center. Vierling around third, he will score. McGonigal delivers. 6-1 Tigers in the sixth.
Athletics score again, this time in the seventh.
The 2-1, shot past a diving McKinstry into center field, a base hit. Bolte flies home from second base.
So Bolte, yeah, crossed home plate twice for the Athletics, but that's going to do it. We end the contest 6-2. Tigers win.
Fly ball softly into left. Riley Green in, makes a catch. Tigers win. Colt Keith with the first inning home run. Tarek Skubal battles through five. Another brilliant performance. And then the Tiger bullpen does the rest. Jacob Wagisback closes it out with two fine innings of work. And solid work tonight from Anderson and Finnegan. Our final score, the Tigers make it six wins in their last seven with a 6-2 win over the A's.
So Tigers win, and the rest of the scores from the MLB from around the league yesterday include the Brewers beating the Cardinals 4-3. It was the Cubbies over the B.O.s 5-2. Stankies falling to the Rays 6-4. Rays beat the Stankies. It was the Marlins on top of the Mariners 6-5. Pirates getting a 12-4 win over the Braves. Astros on top of the Natties 6-3. Another fun one to be in the stands for. Royals getting a win over the New York Baseball Metropolitans 16-12. For the final there.
You had the Phillies over the Reds, 4-1. Red Sox on top of the White Sox, 8-1. And the Twins getting a win over the Guardians, 3-1 in that final. Brewers beat the Cards, 10-2 yesterday. Rangers over the Angels, 8-3. Padres beating the Diamondbacks, 4-1. Blue Jays on top of the Giants, 9-3. Rockies topping the Dodgers, 4-3 yesterday. So Tigers and the Athletics, game two today, as the A's are 22-22 on the road. Tigers are 24-21 when they're at home. Detroit at -163, according to the experts who put together the sports books. And we've got Troy Melton. Pretty good outing last time out. Troy Melton on the bump for the Tigers. Jeffrey Springs, lefty for the A's, will be pitching. And he has an ERA of 5.79 with 93 innings pitched. Melton, who has 44 innings so far to his resume this year, has an ERA of 2.05. 64% when it comes to the matchup predictor, leaning in favor of the Detroit Baseball Tigers. That is a 6:15 broadcast, 6:40 for the first pitch down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Now, with the win yesterday and with the White Sox loss, that helps the Tigers out just a skosh, as they are now 6.5 games back, as they only have one loss in their last 7 games. So Tigers slowly climbing the ladder. So you got the White Sox. Boy, I feel like there's been a Matrix glitch or something. We're in the Bizarro, the DC Comics Bizarro world or something. I don't know. The White Sox leading the AL Central for a length of time. Now, that's insane. So they're still ahead, but Guardians are at their heels. Just a game back. Twins are 3 games back. Tigers, 6.5 back. And the Royals are 10 games back right now in that race for the AL Central. Elsewhere, the Pistons were involved in a massive 6-team trade last night. They newly acquired Taurean Prince and former Sparty Gary Harris from Milwaukee while giving up Caris LeVert, and previously agreed upon trade sending Marcus Sasser to Dallas and Isaiah Stewart to Memphis, and John Collins to the Pistons were lumped into that massive deal. Pistons are now hard capped at the first apron. They have roughly $48 million in cap space to spend this year. $48 million. That's, well, got to figure out how to spend it. It's like Brewster's Millions all over again. Got to figure out how to spend it. FIFA World Cup yesterday, Switzerland and Colombia, they kicked it around to a nut-nutting tie. Switzerland getting the 4-3 shootout win. Also yesterday, Argentina got the win over Egypt, 3-2 in the round of 16. So, they take a little bit of a break today, and it's France and Morocco in the quarterfinals tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So, the quarterfinals, again, France and Morocco, that's on the 9th. On the 10th, Spain versus Belgium. Norway will take on England on the 11th, and also on the 11th, Argentina will face Switzerland. So, those are the teams involved with the quarterfinals. The semifinals are July 14th and 15th, and the FIFA World Cup final is on July 19th at 3 o'clock. And then, the third place match is July 18th. That will be at 5 o'clock. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Just 8 more games left in the World Cup. It was exciting while it lasted for the USA team, but now it's just 8 games left. That's all we have to count now. Jackson Junior Golf Tour, they find themselves in action tomorrow. Jackson Junior Golf Tour, they are going to be back at, hold, there it is, at Burr Oak Golf Course. So golfers will each need a partner, as this event has a two-player scramble format. So that'll be tomorrow at Burr Oak, tee times 8 o'clock in beautiful Parma for the Jackson Junior Golf Tour. We'll spend a little more time on that one tomorrow. And that, my friends, is a look at your sports. Sports, again, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 7:32 here at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Go ahead, grab this microphone right here as we have Angela Klobuchar joining us here in the studio this morning from Northwest Schools. But we're talking about the Learning Fair, which is not just for Northwest Schools, it's for everybody.
That's right. Right, exactly. Yeah. It is a public event.
Well, welcome back, and it's good to have you here with us today.
Thank you.
Well, tell us, what do we need to know about the Learning Fair? When is it?
Well, it's this Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
And it's at 3757 Lansing Ave. It's okay. On the front lawn of Northwest Elementary School.
Okay. Oh, so you can't miss it.
No, yeah.
Right there.
You can't miss it already. Yeah. They're out there putting up all those big white tents. It's already starting to look fun.
Oh, nice. Good. Now, this has been going on. This is kind of like a tradition in the area. It's been going on for a hot minute.
Yes, this is the 32nd annual.
Okay.
If it weren't for that one year we won't all mention, it would be the 33rd annual.
Oh,
but
man.
Moving on, this is the 32nd annual Learning Fair.
Yeah, well, we all get a pass because of COVID, right?
That's right. You okay. Had to say it, didn't you?
So what can we expect? What are some of the highlights? What are some of the things we can expect with the Learning Fair this year?
Well, for someone who hasn't been there before,
let's
perhaps
take it from that perspective.
Yeah,
let's talk about it that way.
It's an outdoor hands-on learning fair. Uh-huh. So when you arrive, there'll be plenty of parking.
Okay.
And I recommend you start at the welcome tent. There's plenty of signage helping you out there, because there'll be some amazing drawings to sign up for. Okay. And you'll get a bag to carry all of your goodies in, because there'll be plenty of goodies as you go through your adventure. I just can't get over the generosity of our community for the donations for the drawing prizes for the kids.
Sure.
American One, I know, has a very special prize in store for somebody, for one child at the fair. So that'll be really cool and exciting.
Is that like top secret? Or
Pinkard Hills. Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
Those are your hints.
You're gonna have to go to find out.
That's right.
Thursday
there
and
you
Friday.
Go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
So, and then the fair has just a wide variety of hands-on activities, and they really are. It's free to be there, and it's free to do the activities, primarily because of an anonymous donor who came up with this idea 33 years ago and makes it happen every year for the kids in our community.
Yeah.
He just would love them to have a hands-on learning opportunity in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
But it's a fair, because it's a ton of fun. You know, sometimes when you're in school, you don't always have time for that hands-on stuff, that opportunity. And how do kids know what they are passionate about if they don't have the chance to try things? I mean, think how many times kids are told, don't do that, you'll get hurt, don't touch this. And this is the opposite situation. So we have the World of Manufacturing, which is obviously a bunch of manufacturers in there. Mm. We have such great local support for this. I know, like Technique, Alro, Mackey. You'll be amazed who you see in there. Uniloy comes from Tecumseh. They all just have great hands-on activities for the kids to do, manufacturing-related experiences. We have a new club joining us in that area, the fair. It's some high school students from Northwest called the Zap Coders. And one of the guys in that club contacted me and said, we'd really like to do a hands-on exhibit for the kids at the fair. He grew up going to the fair.
Huh.
And so they'll be there. Their experience has to do with the history of computers and how video games are made.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then as you go throughout the fair, you'll see all different kinds of experiences to have. 4-H will be there, and one of their 4-H families will bring some furry 4-H members with them. We have Youth for Understanding, for example, some cultural experience. They are a group, organization that helps you arrange exchange students to have in your family, to host in your family. We have paint parties to go, so there's painting and art projects.
Wow.
Pat tutoring. I want to go see this one myself. I get asked so much lately for tutors, a need for tutors. And Pat will be there with oblong drums. And
oblong drums.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it sounds like music, but it's actually science. And I have to admit, he did tell me because I asked him. And I can't wait to go check it out. But that's all I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
You have to come if you
want to come and experience it.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about. It's about coming, experiencing, and hands-on. It's because, you know, kids are in desks throughout the school year, but this is like really the opportunity for them, like you said, to kind of figure out what their favorite things are.
Right, yeah.
And get new experiences and exposed to new things. Okay. So it goes Thursday and Friday. We've got 2 days, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The hours are different each day.
Sure.
Thursday, it's noon to 7. We start a little later and go a little later so working parents can go and enjoy with their kiddos.
Sure.
And then Friday, it's from 10 to 5.
Yeah.
Both days do have free lunch being served from noon to 3 for the kids.
Okay.
And then there's a food court so that there's food for purchase as well, because what's a fair without all that yummy fun concessions, right?
Right. So there's going to be a few things that are going to translate from one day to the next, but also there's going to be different things happening.
Correct.
On both days. So what's going to be happening on Thursday that won't be available on Friday? I see that there's a Jaws of Life demonstration, just to kind of, you know, highlight one thing. That sounds really cool.
Yes, that is that's really amazing. Jimmy's brings out a car and they show you, they cut up a car for you. They cut it open. And I think it's great fun, but it's also really important, because if somebody's ever in an accident, a child would be less afraid because they've, okay, I know what these guys are doing. I saw this at the learning fair kind of thing. Getting those kids interested in golfing. Some of them never get to experience golf as a child. And Doug Hansen will be at our golf experience exhibit on Thursday for a few hours.
You're kidding. Our very own McKibben Media Group golf pro, Doug Hansen. All right.
You said it.
Yeah.
I know. So kind of him. That'll be fun. And then Baffling Bill the Magician is at 4:30.
Okay.
And talking about the differences here. And then Friday at 2 o'clock is Fact or Fiction. Okay. No fishing. And that is Binder Park Zoo show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're pulling in vendors and demonstrations really from a wide variety. A lot right here in Jackson, but also a lot from beyond, just to bring in new experiences and exposure to the kids.
Yes, yes. And not to make a correction, but just to point out so parents understand and aren't concerned when they come. People often say vendors, but they're really exhibitors. They're hands-on exhibitors simply because they're not selling to the parents. The person behind this event wants parents to come and just relax, enjoy all the activities, and not be worried about the money part. I mean, sure, bring some fun money for the concessions, but just come and enjoy the shows, the activities. And they're free. Yeah.
And it's free. The whole thing's free. No pre-registration or any of that required.
No.
Just show up on Thursday and Friday. And you have a lot of people who show up both days just because they can't get it all in.
Exactly. Yep. I've had parents say, we'll be back tomorrow. We couldn't get it all done. And that speaking of that, that is a really good advice for the parents is be ready to just relax and take your time.
Yeah.
Don't hurry your child through an activity, because that is what you're there for.
Right.
It's for them to enjoy that fun and learning activity. And don't be surprised if your student or your child takes quite some time at each one.
Right.
And you're allowed to join in too.
Right. And again, Angela, it's for everybody.
Right.
Do you kind of feel like you're battling that a little bit, since it's at Northwest, that people are feeling like it's a Northwest thing, but it's really for the whole community, for the greater Jackson area, right?
Yeah, I don't hear it a lot, but once in a while, someone will ask me that question, because it's at Northwest. Well, can we? Oh, my students are from Western or Grass Lake or whatever. And, oh, no, it's a public event.
Okay.
So I don't know if, I think most people I think most people know that.
Yeah.
I just get asked it once in a while, so I want to be really clear about that because I wouldn't want anybody to lose out on
a fun
activity.
We put aside the Northwest-Western rivalry for this event. So everybody's
that's
like, right?
That's right.
Now, how long have you been with Northwest Schools?
This is my 25th year. Well, this was my, I just finished my 25th year.
Okay. And now what, can I ask, what do you teach there?
Spanish at the middle school at Kidder Middle.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What now? I like to get into the why a lot with people. So if you don't mind, what is it? Why was it that? Why did you want to teach Spanish? What kind of brought you to, not only to education, but to want to teach Spanish?
Well, I wasn't one of those kids that knew right away what I wanted to do in life. I always wanted to be a veterinarian because I loved animals. You know how that little kid dream goes.
Okay.
But as I got older, I knew I wanted to teach middle school specifically, just because that's when kids really need the support to discover their confidence and realize that they're more than what they might think that they are or have more capabilities than they might think. You know, in middle school, you're full of so many doubts. And so I went back to school and started taking classes and took a Spanish class as an elective and was like, oh, oops, yeah, Spanish is fun. I kind of forgot about that. That's what I want to do. I thought I wanted to be a language arts teacher, but I was wrong. And I am a Spanish teacher. That is what I am. I absolutely love my job.
Okay.
Just sometimes people don't find it right away.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like the learning fair thing. We want to help kids find what they're passionate about, right?
Right.
So I taught high school Spanish for 10 years, 1 year in Battle Creek, and then I came to Northwest. And then I was asked to move over to the middle school, and I thought, middle school, what is that? What's a middle schooler like? It's been a minute since I've been around a middle schooler. And then I remembered my application essay for U of M was all about teaching middle school. It was a total God thing for me, really. I mean, I love teaching high school Spanish, but God put me where I was supposed to be.
Right.
You know, I'm supposed to be a middle school Spanish teacher, and I love it there.
Right. Yeah.
And Northwest is a great district to work for. I never knew of Northwest until I went for my interview.
Right.
And when I accepted that job, I knew that that would be my job until I retire. That's, and as a matter of fact, the principal at the time, Eric Berg, when I accepted the job, he said, welcome home. And he was exactly right. That's my home, my other home.
Yeah, you know, it takes a unique person to be able to get up in front of kids to do what you do. Not everybody can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people like me. I can get up in front of a crowd. It doesn't matter. But you put me up in front of kids, I feel like a bumbling idiot. You know, it's tough. That's a tough gig to be able to do what you do and inspire kids.
It's funny, and I appreciate the credit in that, but to me, it's just fun. It is such a fun job. Kids are a blast. I love working with the Learning Fair to provide that for kids. Mm-hmm. And then my students, once they get older, I invite them to come be volunteers. And I have plenty of past students at this event this week that I couldn't do this event without them. They're such a big help. And my husband's an engineer, and we joke about that a lot, that I was with kids all day long. And he was either with adults or alone in an office at a computer. And I'm like, how boring, you know? I'd much rather be with the kids.
Yeah. So you've been teaching Spanish for 25 years, remember that correctly?
25 at Northwest.
Okay, 25, so 26 years. How much have you had to change how you teach Spanish in that time? I mean, because technology has come about. People can actually have conversations with their phones and have things translated now. So has that really impacted or changed the way you teach kids or teach Spanish in the last couple decades?
Right. You're kind of only asking a tricky question. It's interesting. When I did my student teaching in Chelsea, the teacher warned me that the last person stayed for about a week and then they left. You have to understand, if you're going to do this here, you're going to learn this teaching method.
Okay.
And I well, what is that? And she explained. I said, that makes sense. Let's do it. And because of that method, I love my job. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine if I was in a textbook classroom with a more traditional way of teaching language that I would love my job like I do. So there's that, and that still holds true today. We still do that very hands-on, not... you know, no textbook, you know, acting out stories, singing songs, conversation, real life conversation stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But then, sure, with technology, things have changed. You know, I have access to resources online that we didn't have before that we also use in class.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, there was that year that we won't mention that, okay, you know.
I won't say it again.
We had to do all kinds of strange things there for a little bit, for a minute. But we all bounced back, and it's great now, you know.
Right.
Again.
Can you see that with your students, the moment that aha moment that happens as soon as, like, that switch goes off and they get it, you know, all of a sudden. And then the learning just becomes a little bit easier for them in your course. Can you see that in the kids when it happens?
Absolutely. Whether it was when I was in high school or the middle school, Spanish 1, the year-long Spanish 1 is my favorite class because you get a whole year with them and they just grow leaps and bounds in Spanish during that year. And it's so fun to see them walk in. Some of them, when they walk in, they have had zero Spanish. And then you see them just take off. I remember year before last, I had come back to school with some injuries, and this young boy, sixth grader, just a little beginner class, he volunteered to read what we'd been working with on the board in it's in Spanish, but now is there volunteer to explain it in English, and he read it, and we'd only been in Spanish class for a couple weeks, and the class just burst out in applause for him, and he was so excited for himself, you know, and I thought, see, that's why I'm here, injuries and all, you know, this is why I'm not at home. That was just, those kind of moments are very worth it.
Okay. One of the things I always thought of as a teacher's superpower was how quickly you're able to memorize kids' names in your class.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's almost like you have to memorize, too, because, well, when I took Spanish, we had our name, and then we had our Spanish name. So you have to memorize, too.
Yes. Yep. That is a thing, and that is tricky. But I do go out of my way.
Yeah.
But I do warn them. When you're 25 and I run into you in the Polly's parking lot, I am going to remember your nickname and say, you know, hola Tortuga, because they went by the nickname Turtle or whatever, you know. I mean, as I see their face, that's the name that comes to my mind. So, but it's fun. And they only do that if they want to pick a nickname, but most of them do just for fun.
Right. Now, do you remember kids' names, like, after they've left your class and graduated and moved on? If you see them in the community, does it just come right back to you like that?
I try really hard. When I was a high school teacher, I recognized them a lot more easily than when I'm a middle school teacher. That's the only sad thing about being in the middle school, is they were so young when you knew them.
Okay.
When you see them as an adult, they've changed so much, it makes it a little harder sometimes to remember their name, or it'll occur to you as soon as you said hola and walked away or something.
Right.
You know, but that's the only sad part, is it makes
that
it
makes
a little
sense.
Harder.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They just change a lot.
Well, we have Angela Klobuchar in the studio with us here today as we're talking about the Learning Fair at Northwest, which is open for everybody.
Yes.
So let's just kind of wrap up where we started for those who might have been joining us
halfway
through our conversation. Exactly. So it's 2 days, so this Thursday and Friday, in front of the elementary school on Lansing Avenue.
Exactly.
What just kind of can run through some of the highlights that our listeners should be aware of before they go to it.
And if you're missing out on any of this, you can always check it out on Facebook,
correct,
too.
Yes.
For the hours and things like that. But Thursday, it's noon to 7, Friday, 10 to 5. It's free to enter, free to do all the hands-on activities. Just be ready to relax and walk around and enjoy the activities. Have a free lunch for your child and some concession stand food for fun. We have some great concessions there for sale. And
good. And everything from manufacturing to science to art,
music, you name it.
A lot of hands-on
animals,
stuff.
Animals, tractors.
Right. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, check the Facebook. What's the Facebook page again?
It's the Learning Fair.
The Learning Fair. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you so much for coming in, Angela. This is a lot of. We'll have it linked up on our Facebook pages too.
Me.
And for anybody who missed the conversation, you catch it with our podcast, which will be posted up wherever you get your podcasts a little bit later on. So again, Angela, this was a pleasure. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming in
today.
Thank
you, Mark. I appreciate it.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
You Sports Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. And it's always nice to have familiar faces back in the studio. We have Anna Georgopoulos joining us here once again from Jackson College. Hey, good morning. Welcome
good
back.
Good morning. Thank you.
How you doing?
Really good. How about you?
So far, so good.
Good. Yeah.
Now, you've been at Jackson College in the HR department, right? For how long now?
2 years.
2 years. Has it been that long?
I know.
Wow. It feels like just flown by.
I know. It does.
It doesn't seem like that long ago we were hanging out causing trouble in Chelsea at the Sounds and Sights or Sights and Sounds, whatever that is called.
Tomorrow night, we can have a repeat of that.
You know, I'm going to try to get to bed at a decent time.
Oh, okay.
That's what Mark's going to do now. So, and you brought Beth Horton along with you today. We're going to be talking about some events and stuff coming up for hiring for Jackson College. Was this an adjunct fair coming up?
Yeah, we have an adjunct hiring fair happening.
Okay.
It's going to be next Tuesday, the 14th, mm-hmm. from 4 to 6 p.m. It's going to be on Central Campus. It's a great opportunity to talk to hiring managers in all different departments. Biology, math, economics, geology, nursing, you name it. We're going to have representation from all departments there.
Sure.
So there will be somebody to talk to that day. And they're kind of the decision makers. So,
well, you know, what are you guys looking for when it comes to an adjunct professor? I mean, there's requirements.
Yeah.
You're not just going to let any slappy come in off the street. There's like certain requirements.
Yes.
In order to qualify for this, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So you need to have a master's degree in that discipline.
Okay.
Or 16 master level credits in that discipline.
All right.
So some people might have
master level credits.
Yes.
Okay.
So, for most disciplines.
Gotcha.
Now, the trades are a little bit different.
I like how you call it disciplines.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Trades are a little bit different. You know, there might be some certifications or they require an associate's with a mechanical contractor's license in the state of Michigan or something similar to that. So, you know, that can all be found on our website when you go to apply for the position. But for the most part, we're looking for people with a master's degree and some applied experience. So if you're, you know, an accountant, we would love to talk to you if you have a master's in accounting, things like that of that nature.
OK. All right. So this is like really an opportunity for somebody who's kind of working full time in the field to either share their expertise or just to bring in a few extra bucks and just to kind of have. And it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to talk about things that you know and love to others who are just hungry for the info.
Yeah.
Because at college, come on, let's be honest. College is a different level than high school.
It is.
Yeah, because you're there learning what you want to learn at college.
Yes. So for the most part.
Yeah.
There are a few courses that you have to take. Yeah,
but I think
that it's definitely more engaging.
Yeah.
You're kind of the owner of your education in that way. You know, you learn what you want to learn and what you don't want to learn, you don't learn. And you can kind of hone in on something that you're interested in when you go to a community college in a sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that this position would also be great for retirees, people who, you know, have recently retired or have been out of the field for a little while and they're interested in sharing their expertise and talking to students and getting them excited about, you know, the prospects of work and things of that nature. So I think that really this applies to anybody who would be interested in teaching online, in person, hybrid. We have the corrections education program as well. So you can go into the correctional facilities. Well, I actually teach in the correctional facilities.
I know you do. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah,
what's that
I very much enjoy it. I've done all modes now. I've taught in person, on campus, online, and in the corrections education program. And the corrections education program, they are great students.
Yeah.
So interested in topics.
Well, is it intimidating when you first walk up to the building and you got all the barbed wire fence and you got the doors that make the weird noises and the loud locks and all that stuff?
Slightly. I mean, if you're not used to it, if you're born and raised in Jackson, I think you're pretty used to, you know, seeing these facilities. But no, actually, everybody's super, you know, welcoming. And Jackson College we prepare you immensely
okay.
for that experience. We get down to the nitty gritty details of what it's like to go in, to be checked, for your bags to be checked, what to bring in, what not to bring in. There are no surprises.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a lengthy orientation. It's there's the support for people teaching in the prisons is expansive. It's crazy. Okay. So no, I feel very supported and the students are amazing and there to learn and, you know, they'll challenge you. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Well, let's talk about that because these are the students, mm-hmm. individuals that are looking to be able to get back into society at some point. Mm-hmm. And they're hungry, they're ready, and they want to make their lives better. Mm-hmm. Contrary to what people think, these are individuals that, you know, they screwed up, but they want to make their lives better.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, they want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had any issues. I don't know of anybody that's ever had any issues in a correctional facility.
What do you teach?
I teach psychology.
Okay.
So it's definitely a very interesting topic for students, you know, in any capacity. I don't think I might not have as many passionate students about, you know, biology in a sense, but in psychology, people are so interested in the topic that it's pretty easy to teach.
Sure.
I love it too. Okay. So,
all right, cool. So the adjunct professor fair, hiring fair, that's coming up when again?
It's on Tuesday.
Okay.
From 4 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the hiring managers or department chairs on campus ready to talk to you,
okay.
ready to move your application forward, ready to let you know what you need, what certifications you might need. They can really move things forward because we're looking for people for fall 2026, and that starts at the end of August.
Oh, yeah. So you got to move quickly then.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for any of those who may be interested, they have to sign up in advance. They have to kind of fill out the application ahead of time, right?
Yeah, I would definitely fill out the application first. In that application, you'll put your resume and your transcripts as well. So get started on that right now because a lot of times people will have to request their transcripts from their institutions. That could take anywhere from 24 hours to a week.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I would definitely do that
quickly then.
Yeah. But if you're waiting on transcripts, don't let that be a barrier to you coming out to the college. You know, we will also have laptops out there if you prefer to apply in person right there. That's not a problem. We're going to have one of the directors of the corrections education program there to talk to people as well who are interested or might be interested in teaching in the prisons. We're going to have a load of resources, many people to talk to, human resources. I do all of our full-time hiring of staff and faculty, also some part-time. So I'm also there to talk about other positions that we have available at Jackson College. It doesn't just have to be an adjunct, but that was the purpose.
Well, I want to ask you about that in a second, about the full-time positions, but let's kind of wrap up the adjunct part of it. If someone gets hired in, do they kind of get to have input and what their schedule is going to be like, or Jackson College is like, hey, we've got this class then at this time and we're going to need you there?
Yeah. Oh, so you definitely have input. You can say, hey, I'm only available evenings. I'm only available after 5. I'm only available on Saturdays. We will do weekend classes or, you know, I'm only interested in teaching online. Now, I will tell you, of course, those courses are a little hard to come by because, of course, faculty gets their first pick on what they would like to teach. But like my department chair will message me and say, hey, I have these 3 classes, which, you know, 2 do you want? And I will pick what works best for my schedule. Okay. And then we have an adjunct learning day. So you'll get a full orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have so many adjuncts. We have a couple hundred adjuncts. Yeah. So there's many people to talk to understand your role and how to navigate our systems.
So there's a certain amount of flexibility there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. So full-time positions. What are you guys looking for?
Yeah. Full-time. I'm looking for a cook right now.
What?
I really need a cook.
We just had House of Umani in.
Oh, my. Well, no, I don't want to poach. Yes, I'm looking for a full-time cook.
Okay.
They would need open availability because we do cater, we do weddings on the weekends, things like that. But really, you're going to be working with our chef, our sous chefs, all of our other kitchen staff, and they're just an amazing group of people to work with. The students adore them. You communicate with the students every day. You get to know them. So definitely looking for a cook.
Okay.
I also have some part-time security positions. These are unarmed positions, kind of checking people in and out of the housing buildings.
Okay.
Mostly overnights. So if you're looking for a couple nights a week to do 12-hour shifts, that would be a great position for you. And I'm also looking for a facilities management specialist and executive director of advancement. And then we also have a couple coaching positions.
So, Oh, yeah. Okay.
I need an assistant men's soccer coach, also a head coach for men and women's cross country, and a head volleyball coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's many opportunities.
We find a lot of those coaching positions, bubbled up from people in Jackson who are either coaching at high school or, you know, somehow.
Yep. Or want to like move to the next level or whatever the case may be. There are opportunities there.
Okay, cool. And now if someone wants to inquire about those opportunities and want to excel in their discipline.
Yeah.
So I'm picking up on your terms here.
Yeah.
What do they, they just contact you directly or what do they do?
Yeah. I mean, they can give us a call in human resources at the college or they can apply online. We're great. You know, we'll have your email and phone at that point and we can answer any questions. Also, when you apply, you'll get a link sent to you with our contact so that way you can, you know, inquire and ask more questions. Coaching positions are a little bit different. They have a little bit more demand out of the day than other positions. You know, you might have volleyball games that start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday and it's an hour and a half drive. So you have to be available, you know. So
are those considered full time?
They are not because of the seasons and the way things go. You might, you know, during peak season, it might be 5 days a week, but, you know, that only lasts for 6 weeks or so. And then, you know, nothing for 3 weeks before you start up on some practices here and there or attend a tournament, you know, off season. So,
There's certainly been a lot of bright spots when it comes to athletics
at
Jackson College this year. The women's team has been phenomenal the last few years in basketball, and it's been fun to follow.
It's been fun to watch. It's great. Like, come out to campus. Campus is beautiful. We love to have visitors. We love people to come out and watch our games and, you know, attend events that we have going on. The Potter Center, there's always something happening.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Are we anticipating continued growth? This is a Dan Phelan question, but you're here, so you're getting it. Are we anticipating continued growth for Jackson College, or are we kind of at that point now to where we're about as big as we can get?
You'll see growth.
You'll see growth? Okay.
There is definitely growth.
All right.
We are always growing. We always get, you know, new buildings, new programs, new trades, new, you know, faculty positions pop up because there is a demand in the community for these positions. We're talking to the community to see, you know, what we need as far as nursing and things of that nature. And we will adapt and meet the needs of the community in that way. So if we need to build a new simulation center like we just did, we will do it.
What's the simulation center?
Yeah, it's a center for nursing students and like health technology students. And so they can go in and we have different like dummies and things and different machines. They have like, you know, like Grey's Anatomy where they have like the the cameras up above and they can kind of like manipulate the mannequins and things. Like we have things like that to test students.
I haven't seen Grey's Anatomy.
That's a shame.
Not since the Love Me, Pick Me episode have I. Have I watched it? I was done. I checked out at that point.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. No. So I mean, we adapt to the community and whatever the community needs. So there is always growth.
All right. Very good. Let's kind of wrap up. You know, let's kind of circle back. Let's kind of wrap up where we started. The adjunct fair. Kind of give us the nuts and bolts, the elevator speech. What do our listeners need to know about this?
So Jackson College is hosting an adjunct hiring fair on Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, July 14th, from 4 to 6. Going to be in Burt Walker Hall. We are looking for people to teach in all disciplines. People who are interested in, you know, teaching students about their work, what they've done in biology, math, economics, nursing, HVAC, geography, different shifts available, different classes, nighttime, online, corrections education program. I mean, really everything. And you can talk to the hiring managers right there and get your resume advanced and, you know, start working at the end of August.
And we were talking about corrections earlier
yeah.
and those opportunities. Yeah, we I think we touched upon Jackson fairly well, but we didn't. I mean, we're talking about positions all across the state when it comes to that.
Yeah. Yeah. We have facilities in Jackson, Ypsilanti, Milan, Adrian, St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, St. Louis, Michigan, we're not going,
Right. Yeah. No, we're not going that far.
Not that far.
So yeah. So all over the state. So if you're listening and you're in Lansing or wherever you're at and that's closer for you.
Or if you travel takes you there.
Yep. Or if that's just, what you prefer to do, then there's availability for that. So we would love to talk to you.
Anything, Anna, that we didn't talk about today that we should be touching on? Do we get everything out
there? I think I'm good. I got everything out there.
All right. Good. Yeah. Well, it was a pleasure having you here talking about all this and learning about Jackson College, and can't wait to hear about more growth.
Yes. Definitely more
it's
growth.
Coming.
Always.
Always. Always. All right. Very good.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thank
today,
you.
Anna Georgiopoulos joining us here today from Jackson College. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5. FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 9:35, 25 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock, and it's a pleasure to have in the studio with us. Boy, this has to be the first time. Josh Burgett joining us live in studio. How you doing today, sir?
I'm great, Mark. It's good. So good to be here. And it's the first time with you. I've been here with GOC for reasons and things like that. But this is the first time I think I've been sitting here with you.
Oh, man. Well, it's good to have you here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On the still relatively new gig, you're the athletic director for Northwest Schools.
So. Yeah, we're just over a month in.
But
it's been a great month. Couldn't be more excited to be part of Mountie Nation and to have this role. To have the opportunity to be an administrator at Northwest, but also to have the opportunity to lead the athletic department and take us in a great direction.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. I've said this so many times before. When Jeff's been sitting in that chair, and you can feel a difference at Northwest Schools. There's a few schools, not everyone, but there's a few schools like this in Jackson County where you just walk in and you can feel it. The vibe is there, and Northwest has that. But the athletic department has, let's be honest, has kind of struggled with different sports here and there throughout the seasons. What's the goal here? What do you want to do? Where do you want to see Northwest athletics here in the future?
Yeah, it's something a lot of us, the administrators and kind of leadership at Northwest talk about. We have the slogan, great to greater, right? And I think Northwest is great. Northwest has been great. And the administration has done a tremendous job to put us in a great spot to be successful. Let me just talk about the rest of the district for a minute. We have tremendous programs. I would put our district up against most in the state, let alone in the county, of the programs that we offer. What a tremendous job our fine arts group does, our band, our choir. We do a great job there. We have an incredible broadcasting and photography program. There's just so much positive and greatness at Northwest. Chris Galloway, my predecessor, did a great job of building a foundation to have a ton of success at Northwest. We have great facilities. We have great coaches. We have programs in place to be successful. I think, and I'm still learning this, but I think, and I've talked about it as a previous broadcaster, right? I've always felt like the culture at Northwest was more about participation. It is about being part of something great and just, and that was good enough. And so my vision is I want to pursue I want to take great and make it greater, and I want to pursue championships, and I want to pursue greatness when it comes to our student athletes, our coaches, and our programs. And so that doesn't give up on the future and the past and the foundation of having everything that's important about the participation of interscholastic athletics, but it is a culture change and a focus on how we are going to create great programs and how we are going to win and pursue championships in everything we do.
So what are some of the, and I don't, I'm not looking for the whole detailed plan here, but what are some of the things to kind of change that culture? Yeah. What are you looking at?
I mean, I think a lot of it comes with mindset. It is how we show up. I mean, when you look at like the tactical things, I think we have a great strength and conditioning program in place. Our varsity sport, strength and fitness, is great. So all of our student athletes are going through a great strength and conditioning program. We have a great strength and conditioning coach who's building a program for all of our student athletes. That's really important. We then got to focus on a couple different things. We got to focus on nutrition and our partnerships that we have in that space and making sure that our student athletes are getting the nutrition that they need. They're getting the education so they're taking care of their bodies so they can continue to grow. we need to make sure that from a sports psychology standpoint that our kids have the resources that they need to have a better mental mindset of how they approach the game and how that prepares them for when they leave our district and they go pursue life. Mm-hmm. And then kind of the uniqueness about my job, which I think I'm one of only a couple in the county that has the responsibility, is my job is not a 7 through 12 or a 9 through 12 job. It is a K through 12 job. Mm-hmm. Right now, youth athletics is not part of the equation at Northwest. We need to build that. We need to figure out what that looks like. My goal is that every single varsity sport we have has an accompanying youth aspect at Northwest, yeah. So that we're not waiting for kids to get to seventh or ninth grade to pick up the sport for the first time and then say, okay, go play it. I'm a firm believer that every championship program you have in our area or in the state has a dedicated youth program next to it. And that's one of the things that Jeff and I talked about very early on that was important. If we're going to grow this, if we're going to be great and make our programs better, we have to have a more integrated youth program into everything we do.
Right. Well, that's one of the things that you see, especially at, and let's use football as the example. You'll see the varsity coaches of successful programs, they have their hands in those elementary school level teams. They're running similar offenses, maybe not all the bells and whistles, but they still have the same setup. They're running the same similar plays. They have the same kind of setup. You see that at the younger levels.
Championship programs have championship cultures, and they have youth connections, and they typically have coaches who have longevity. It's really hard to have successful programs when you have a lot of turnover in a coaching position. We want coaches who want to be at Northwest. We have coaches who want to build programs, who want to be engaged with the youth, who want to support the other sports programs at Northwest and want to stay there for a long time. And that's the type of coaches we're looking for to join our program.
All right. So did you play in high school? What did you play?
Yeah, I played baseball, football, basketball. Played soccer kind of at the club level. We didn't have soccer at Grass Lake from as a sports team then, but I loved the game. So we had about probably 10 of us around the Grass Lake area who played together for years and played indoor, outdoor. But yeah, baseball was my primary sport. I went played college in that, but I loved football, basketball, baseball. It was great.
What was it for you that translated from what you learned on the court or on the field or whatever that translated over to your professional world?
Yeah, I think teamwork and leadership is probably, I would say, 1A. Mm-hmm. Those two together are really important in what you learn. But I think the most important, probably why baseball was my favorite game, is you learn how to fail. Baseball is a sport where obviously, you know, the Hall of Famers succeed 3 or 4 out of 10 times, right? Mm-hmm. And so a game that teaches you how to face adversity, teaches you how to fail and then push through that and continue to succeed, I think is probably professionally what has made me the professional that I've become and what's helped me so much in my career. But teamwork, relationships, you know, I say all the time, relationships has been the most important part of my entire life, personally professionally. And you have to build relationships and to be part of a team and play a team sport. Mm-hmm. And relationships has driven my life.
Okay. When you think back on playing, whether it was through elementary school, high school, first coach that comes to mind?
Oh, not even close. I mean, so Grass Lake, anybody who's listening out there who went to Grass Lake is going to say the same name that I do, and that's Joe Bechtel. I mean, he inspired me to want to be an athletic director. He inspired me to want to be a coach. He was a second father to so many people. He inspired us to be great. We were scared to fail, but we're motivated to succeed and do more, and he was just tremendous. He was he was a great, great man who I have so much love and respect for. And, you know, the only thing I'm disappointed by is how many student athletes missed out on him because of the cancer took him away from us way too soon.
Yeah. And we first met when you were working at MIS. And then, you know, you went on to consumers. You kind of had a little bit of a journey, you know. A lot of people, I think, who are successful in the professional world, they have that variety in their life. So I guess let's go through that a little bit, if you don't mind, because I think our listeners may be curious. How'd you get from MIS to the AD position at Northwest?
So I'll go back and start in college. So I take that motivation I got from Coach Bechtel. Mm-hmm. I went to school not really knowing what I wanted to do. I went to play baseball, and I just would try to figure it out, but I wanted to be a high school athletic director.
Where'd you go to college at?
Siena Heights University down in Adrian, who just closed the doors.
Yeah, I know, yeah. That's where my mom graduated from.
Yeah, great place, and did well there. Mm-hmm. And for me, I wanted to be a high school athletic director, but I never wanted to teach. I didn't want to be in the classroom. That wasn't a motivation for me.
Okay.
And I didn't have the fortitude to know at that time that a direct path to be an AD and not be a teacher and have that type of credential was really, really difficult. And so for me, I had that path, wanted to be an AD, had the credentials to be an AD, but I wasn't a teacher. And my internship in college was at Michigan International Speedway.
Yeah.
And for me, that was my start there. After I did my grad work at Eastern Michigan, they called me and said, we'd love to hire you full time. And so I sent a couple resumes out to be an AD, heard nothing back because I had no teacher certificate, nothing right. like that. And it was like, okay, I got a job and I have a great job, something that I love doing. So I took it. And so I was at MIS for 15 years. It was the greatest 15 years of my life. I mean, we did tremendous work out there. We had a great team. I built great relationships out there. I never thought I'd leave there, quite frankly. Yeah. I thought I would retire from MIS. And so when I left there, I was the vice president of corporate partnerships and business development. And we did so many great things as a team out there at MIS for years. And it was something that I aspire to try to have again someday, because yeah. the one thing that job provided me was the ability to create lasting memories for any person. It didn't matter if you were the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, if you were a major actor or Hollywood personality, or if you were a Joe Race fan, I had access to things yeah. that I could make your day. And I yeah, loved that.
That's true.
It was
yeah.
an awesome, awesome experience yeah. and ability to be able to do that. But then with some leadership changes, you know, I loved Roger Curtis. Roger was track president there yeah. for years. He was a great man and a mentor of mine. And it just was different when he wasn't there. And when he called me with an opportunity to follow him out to the state of Michigan for yeah. Governor Steiner's last 2 years in office, never thought I would leave MIS, but yeah. the timing felt right. And that kind of started a little bit of a sequence of some job changes that, mm-hmm. you know, so I go from the state of Michigan, I go to consumers, I went to an HR collaborative, a place in Grand Rapids, and never felt that passion that I had at MIS in yeah. any of those roles. I enjoyed them. They provided me great experience. They provided me a new depth and new professional opportunities, right. but never had that kind of personal passion to want to wake up every day and just go after it.
Yeah.
So I had been looking for that and chasing that. And I have that again for the first time right. in a long time to wake up and just want to go succeed.
Well, you had a skosh of that all because yeah. while you're doing all this and having these career changes, you're doing a hell of a job broadcasting for the JTV.
Yeah. I mean, that was, know? Yeah. And so take me back to the middle of MIS.
Yeah.
I always wanted to coach. I wanted to get into coaching, but mm-hmm. the schedule out at MIS was really hard. Probably the only season that I could coach would be basketball. Mm. And that would be a disservice to the kids. Like okay. me coaching basketball is not something you want to do. But football, baseball, softball would have been kind of my mm-hmm. niche, but the seasons at MIS never would have worked. And so I wanted to find a way to get into high school athletics, because high school athletics was always the passion for me. That's right. where I wanted to be. And funny story is I was about to become a high school official, mm-hmm. and I did a JTV interview for an MIS event that we were doing, and Andy Hawley popped down and just says, hey, have you ever thought about broadcasting? I'm like, no. I mean, who thinks about that? But it was the perfect timing yeah. for a guy who all he wants to do is get around to high school sports.
Yeah.
And he sent me a DVD, said, this is what we do. And next thing you know, a month later, Joel Freeland and I started a partnership that was going to go for many years. And yeah. We called our first game together, became great friends, and I had so much fun doing that stuff. And so that was kind of my start into high school sports. And then I had the ability to coach after that, being a right. coach out at Napoleon. And I think taking the Napoleon job is really what told me, okay, this is your passion.
How did the softball gig kind of fall into your lap? Did it fall into your lap, or
yeah.
did you, was it part of the relationship building? How'd you get that?
All part of relationship building, uh-huh. but you know, so I'd been around, I built tons of relationships with athletic directors yep. across because mm-hmm. of JTV. I think the people out at Napoleon, because I was there and I was part of the youth programs and things like that, knew mm-hmm. I had a passion around softball. That's the sport that I love. And when Doug Richardson retired, I was approached to, hey, I think you should apply for this. My first response was, every response I've ever had when I've been approached about coaching is, I don't have the time.
Yeah.
And Tom Johns, the previous AD out there, said, nobody has the time. And it was kind of one of those things that I went back and talked to my wife, Melissa, and just said, I think the timing's right. I had just lost my dad, and my dad had was the softball coach out of Grass Lake. So uh-huh. everything was lining up, feeling like you have to take this. You have yeah. to pursue this opportunity. And I did. and was fortunate enough to be offered the position. And that those 2 years with those young ladies and the coaches that we put out there changed my life.
Right.
That is what told me, you need to do this full time, because this is where your energy comes from. This is, I'm a different person when I was on the softball field at Napoleon, because I was around the girls. I was around high school sports. I just knew that I had to get back to a school. And then when the opportunity with Northwest and when Jeff approached me about this, I wouldn't have been a high school athletic director anywhere. I think Northwest was the right opportunity. The culture that he's built out there, the staff that they have out there, it's a different opportunity, and we can do great things. I can be different than a normal high school athletic director. I don't want to run things like a normal high school. We want to be bigger than that. We want to pursue greater things than that. And I think there's an opportunity to do that at Northwest, which you couldn't do that everywhere.
So you weren't looking for the AD gig. No. It came to you.
Yeah.
All right. So now with that said, 2 years as coach at Napoleon, what didn't you accomplish there that you wanted to get done? What were part of your goals? Because you left too soon.
Yeah.
What were part of your goals that you didn't get to?
Lots. Yeah. So we were heavily involved with the youth program. Mm-hmm. And so we had a great relationship with Sally Raftery, who runs the youth program out there. Mm-hmm. Great opportunities. I mean, we were tracking kids all the way down to third grade. I could tell you who the players are, and we were out watching games, building relationships with those kids and those parents all the way down to third grade. So I would just start there. There are a number of girls that I was really, really excited to coach years to come that I wouldn't see on a varsity field for years. So there's that. There's also let's be honest, my 2 years are Grass Lake's best 2 years in their history. And so while we want to pursue and win championships, I'm fighting against Roger Cook and everything he's built there at Grass Lake. And I'm pursuing that against them when they're at the height of everything that they've done.
Right.
And so, but there's a lot of things that we as the staff want to do and wanted to build there that I think they'll still have a great opportunity to do. There's a great staff in place there that, and a great group of kids. We invested in the facilities there. We improved facilities. There's a lot of things that I think still are left to be done at Napoleon, but there's a great foundation to continue to build on that work.
So you're the AD with Northwest Schools, Josh Burgett, joining us here in the studio. What was that first week like? How were you aligning your goals and getting things started? I know you're still in the infancy of that with your first month, but what was that first week like?
It was a whirlwind because it was just meeting everybody, because I have a lot of relationships, but I didn't have a lot of relationships at Northwest.
Okay.
And so it's meeting the coaches. It's learning who all they are. It's meeting the administrators. My role is a little bit different. So I'm a district administrator. So I'm meeting all of the different folks from around the district, just trying to understand how athletics can play a role in the work that they do and how their work can assist and help build a partnership for what we want to try to accomplish with the athletics. So that was... Everything has been relationships and been meeting people and just understanding how things work at Northwest. We're now finally getting to that point where I feel like this week, next week, I can actually be in the office, be present, and actually just try to start working on some of the initiatives and starting to develop some of the partnerships that we need to succeed to accomplish the things that we want to do.
All right. What's the first big obstacle to overcome then?
It's a great question.
I love it when my guests say that, just so you know. I absolutely love it when they say that.
I don't really look at it as a first big obstacle. I think for me, just being honest, for me, the big obstacle is the daily operation of being an athletic director, right? And there would be a lot of people that could come into this role and they've either done it or they like, so scheduling and our systems, all that stuff is new to me. So I have a great colleague in Jessica Bannister, who has been there for years, who can help me tremendously. She's been great. Chris Galloway, before he left, did a great job of setting me up to succeed and be there to try to help with that stuff, right? So my biggest challenge is not allowing my vision and all the things that we want to accomplish over the next few years to get in the way of when we start practice August 10th and making sure that we are ready to go when we have all the things that the MHSA requires us to do to make sure that we're set to go there just fundamentally from an athletic department standpoint.
Well, you're going to have 1 year in the IA,
yep.
and then you're going to have year number one in the white, in the SEC white. Yep. So, I mean, you've got transition right now. And then you're gonna have another transition next year. That feels like a pretty unique position.
It is. It's exciting. And what's unique is I've actually built more relationships in the SEC than I have the I-8. I mean, we are working on scheduling and trying to do everything. I've actually had
two league meetings already with the SEC. My first one isn't until the first week of August with the I-8. So I've had an opportunity to build some great relationships with the 27 schools for 26 other schools that the SEC conference is going to look like in 2027.
Yeah. Why is the SEC a better fit for Northwest than the I-8?
Yeah, I think from a that's
Did I ask you? Is it putting you in a tough position answering
it's
that
a
question?
Tough, it's a tough position because here it is. I'll use the same thing I said before. Great to greater, right?
Okay.
And so the I-8 is great. Tremendous conference. It was exactly what Northwest needed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think structurally the way it worked, it was a really great conference. The SEC is our future. And everything that we want to do, we want to move and face bigger schools, bigger competition, more sports, creates larger opportunities for us. I mean, think of our conference moving forward will be 27 schools. The uniqueness we can do in scheduling, how we can do crossover games with the different groups, how that automatically puts us within some of the great school districts on the east side of the state. It just creates more opportunities for our student athletes, our coaches, and our programs. And so I think for the future, that's where we need to be.
Will Northwest be and Western be able to maintain that rivalry?
I certainly hope so. That's important to everybody out at Northwest. We want to do that. And so that's just key for me and Tyler Ridgway to work together and make sure that we can do that and make sure our sports teams can continue to work, continue to face each other and play that, because it's a great rivalry. There's no reason why it shouldn't continue to be one. But I think what's also exciting is we're also building a really good rivalry with everybody out at Jackson High.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they will be a conference opponent, we'll face them in every single sport. There's no reason why the Vikings and the Mounties can't also build a great new rivalry.
All right. First, next time those two meet on the football field, who wins?
Who faces?
Northwest and Jay High.
Northwest.
Okay. Are we going to be getting a Go Mounties every time like we get from Jeff?
I'll give you a Go Mounties, but it's not going to be the burly Jeff Bontrager version, because there's only one person who can do it that way. But we are Northwest Go Mounties.
Anything left untouched here we didn't talk about that you feel like it's important for our listeners to know?
No, Josh? I mean, I'm just really excited. I want our student athletes, our coaches, our community members to be really excited about the future of Mountie Athletics. Mm-hmm. We have a great school. We have great staff. And we're going to have great programs on the athletic field that we can put on for community members to come out and watch. And that's what we want to do, is build great programs that creates entertainment and value for our community so they can come out and support our young student athletes.
Great having you here. Thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Josh Burgett joining us here, AD from Northwest Schools. This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.